Amen. I feel like I can offer the benediction. We can go home. Again, welcome to Eastside. Merry early Christmas. It's a privilege to be with you on this very wet, balmy Traveler's Eve Christmas service. And if you are a guest with us, I hope that you have felt warmly welcomed thus far by our community. I'm feeling a bit right heavy. It's a strange phenomenon, which is fine. Been journeying with us through this Advent season, then you know that we have been following the Advent candles a little closer than usual. And this past Sunday, I spoke to the fact that there is a little bit of liturgical disagreement amongst the liturgists in our world about the proper ordering of the candles. Is it hope, joy, peace? Or is it hope, peace, joy? This year, we have embraced the latter. Hope, then peace, then joy. And honestly, I kind of stumbled upon this. I was studying the lectionary text for the given Sundays, and I really felt like the candles aligned better with the readings the way we did it this year, hope and peace than joy. And as we began with hope, we recognized that at its most fundamental level, hope is the simple acknowledgement or reception of the idea that maybe life could get better. See, there are people in our world who have been so beaten up by life, they can't even hear that word. That things could maybe get better. Hope. A setting aside of despair and simply opening ourselves up to possibility. That things maybe could change. That maybe life could get better. During Advent, we begin by simply lighting the candle of hope and acknowledging the idea, even if in the realm of the speculative, that life could maybe change. I haven't even launched into my sermon yet, but I know by statistical fact that is a word that some of you in these pews tonight simply need to hear. Advent hope, maybe things could get better. Maybe this Christmas season you're struggling with depression or anxiety or addiction, or just grief. Maybe you're feeling a little bit hopeless. My prayer for you tonight is that the God of the universe would speak a new word of hope into your heart. The nights are long right now. You can kind of feel it. Just the heaviness of the days this week. God of hope, speak a new word into our hearts, if that's what we need tonight. This past Sunday, I made the audacious claim that the movement from despair to hope creates the possibility that we might be able to experience some transcendent peace. The movement from despair to hope gives way to the possibility that we might be able to experience some peace, some shalom, the settling of the divine in our souls, wholeness, goodness, Shabbat, rest, the settling of the waters of our hearts. Hope gives way to finding maybe even just momentarily a little bit of divine peace. And down deep, if we're honest, we all want some peace. Can I get an amen? Shalom. Wholeness. Goodness. The way things were supposed to have been. A settling in spite of the fact that things maybe haven't turned out the way that they were supposed to. Hope leads to peace, which maybe, if we're fortunate enough, gives way to an experience of transcendence. That transcendence that we in the Christian tradition describe as joy. Peace gives rise to joy. I was with my core group on Tuesday night for our Christmas party, and we started talking theology. In fact, we started talking about membership and joining the church, and why certain people in my group have been coming to Eastside for years, yet have not joined the church. And then our conversation went to infant baptism, and what do we really believe about how much of the stuff you have to believe in to join a Methodist church? And I'm here to tell you that as the pastor of this church and a member of that core group, I experienced in those moments in that conversation an overwhelming experience of joy. We went from membership to infant baptism to headscarves to whether or not atheists have a better human ethic than Christians. And it was amazing. And at some level, it reminded me why I do what I do, because I love to get people reflecting on ultimate reality. I love to get people thinking about big things. I love getting people to think about simple things. We are here together in this time. And this moment right now will never come again. My kid will never be six again. You'll never be with that Uber driver again. You should speak to them. I had some work done on my car this week because we're heading home to Indiana next week after Christmas. And I had to take an Uber home from the shop because they were taking so long to get it done. And I had a conversation with my driver, and I found out that he was a youth pastor, is a youth pastor. And his parents did drugs, so he has congenital heart issues and has had to have multiple surgeries. And his wife of 11 years ended up leaving him. But he's about to propose to his girlfriend in the new year. And I left him my number and said we should get lunch. You should talk to your Uber driver. If you hear nothing else from me this evening, I hope you can hear a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of joy, and the very simple word of be here now. Practice presence. Be fully in your existence as it is, whatever's going on in your life. If you're in a good place, be fully in that good place and let it permeate you. If you're in a dark place of pain, of grief, don't numb yourself out. Allow yourself to be present to your grief. Hope, peace, joy. And the fourth candle is the candle of love. The candle that, ironically, we're going to light this Sunday. Our reading this evening will be coming from the prologue of John's Gospel. This is literally one of my favorite portions of all of Scripture, in part because it's cosmic. It's huge, it's tectonic, and it's so powerful that we put it on our walls on either side of us this Advent season. It's one of these readings that sort of connects the A with the Z. It connects the beginning of the story with Christ. It connects all of these realities within these few short verses. Friends, as you're able, I invite you to stand with me for the reading of Scripture found in John's Gospel, beginning in chapter 1 and verse 1. And as I read, I would invite you to listen to the Word of God. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word was God. Everything came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh, lived among us. We have seen his glory. The glory is of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart and has made him known." Friends, the Word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. God, I ask that as I continue to preach, that you would use these words that I have prepared to be a word for your people in this time. May you speak through them. May you speak as necessary in spite of me. And God, as I preach, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this time collectively would indeed be found right, pleasing, good, and acceptable in your sight. God, our rock, God, our redeemer, God, our savior. All of this we pray in the name of the Christ. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Source. This text is about source. It's about this sort of cosmic nature of the Christ. If nothing came into being but through the Christ, then the Christ is present in everything. God's fingerprints are on all of reality. Source, where do you come from? John, in his prologue to the Gospel, says, you come from God. Thus, you are an emergence of the Word of God in the world. You come from the mouth of the divine. You were spoken into existence by the Eternal One. And that very voice spoke the Christ, who spoke the Christ into our world so that we could behold, so that we could be transformed by an encounter with God. The one who spoke the world into existence walked among us. And John says we missed it, we didn't get it, we did not behold, we did not understand what was taking place. This text has a lot to say about the Word. I've mentioned this story before, but it bears repeating. In the Lloyd home, there is a reoccurring theme that gets played out in many different versions and manifestations, but it usually goes something like this. I speak a word, I ask my children to clean up their room, specifically to put the Legos in the bin. And to my shock, almost every time they just instantaneously, without any further encouragement, just bounce up and do exactly as I ask. Except that's exactly not what happens. What happens is that before Dad even spoke his word, Mom had already spoken many words, asking the children to clean up their room, specifically to put the Legos in the bin, to which, of course, they did not respond. Perhaps they just did not comprehend. Though I doubt it. So then their father steps in and repeats the command for them to put their Legos away in the bin, and maybe a bit louder than Mom. And after they don't respond to me, I generally throw out a couple of empty parental threats, such as no Christmas this year. And then I get down on the ground with them and I show them the way. I start putting Legos in the bin and I invite them to join me. You see what I'm doing? Child who will not listen to me, you do it too. And together we co-create. We engage in the redemption of the world. One Lego at a time. The text this evening begins with the statement, "In the beginning was the Word." John's gospel doesn't start on Christmas Eve, the night of Christ's birth. John's gospel begins before there was anything but God. In the time before time existed, in the world before the Big Bang, the world before there was a world, the time before there was a universe. If you go back and read the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the Creator God speaks words. Words, and then time, space, light, dark, matter is obedient to the voice of the divine, to the voice of God, to the word of God. In the beginning of the Hebrew scriptures, God speaks. God says, do this, and the natural world does what it is asked. From parting the waters to creating light, to separating night from day, when God speaks in creation, creation does what it's asked. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All that came into being through him. John, he's connecting Jesus to the creation of the cosmos. And if you have just a little bit of theological and poetic imagination, you might think of God the Father being the one doing the speaking, the Holy Spirit as the breath coming off the lips of the divine, and the one who would become the Christ, the Son, carrying that word into the world. The beginning of John's gospel illustrates a really important Christian principle, friends. Word to flesh. Idea to reality. thought to embodiment. A movement from head to heart to hands to feet to creation. See, I can have a great idea for an amazing piece of art, but if I never paint it, it just lives up here and never becomes embodied in the world. I can have an amazing idea for a new song, but if I never write it, or if I write it and then I never sing it, what's the impact in the world? It doesn't do what it needs to do for our planet, for humanity. At the beginning of John's Gospel, we encounter an idea, a thinker, speaker, breath, word, Father, Son, Spirit, then bringing something into our world. The same God who brought the first iteration of reality into the world, John is claiming, is reclaiming and recreating that reality through the work of the Christ. God's breathing new breath into humanity. Are we here? We are here. And it's for a reason. You are here for a reason. Sure, through evolutionary biology, but you are here because God wanted you to be here. The Christ coming into the world was not a judgment of humanity. It was an affirmation of humanity. It was God placing a stamp on our feeble bodies saying, yes, I love you. I want you. The night that my core group painted the hearts on the canvas, we got into this conversation about the human race and sort of the state of the psyche of the human race. And we kind of got to the point that collectively, the human race has pretty low self-esteem right now. There's a lot of self-hatred floating around out there. We do, and this is part of the reason we act the way we do. This is why we are okay treating other humans the way that we do, because we don't like us. So that gives us permission to offer that same disdain to those around us. What would happen if we learned to practice love and forgiveness for ourselves? Would we be better at loving and forgiving other human beings within our vicinity if we practiced on ourselves? So much collective self-hatred within the human race, and it just perpetuates itself. In another place in John's Gospel, we're told that God so loved the world that God gave us God's Son. Part of the Christian message is that God loves you more than you do. It's an invitation to change our posture towards one another, towards humanity. Towards our fellow human beings who are walking around in skin bags. To stop hating ourselves despite what we are doing to the planet. To stop hating ourselves despite what mistakes we may have made. Stop hating ourselves for what we are or are not leaving for our children. To stop hating ourselves for fill in the blank. Friends, Christ came into our world as God's affirmation of our humanity, not to perpetuate hatred and violence, but exactly the opposite. God took on a body because God wanted you to know that your body matters. Your body is sacred. Your existence is sacred. You are made from the stuff of the divine. Can we just get rid of the doctrine of original sin already? It's toxic. Not helping anybody by telling us how bad we are when we're 4 years old. We get that. We don't need that to be perpetuated by religion. We don't need to be told how bad we are at picking up the Legos. We all know that we don't pick up the Legos well. No, friends, we need a different word. We need a better word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All of being, every human being who has ever walked this planet, came into being through the divine Word of God. There are no human accidents, period. This, Christmas. Christmas season, maybe you feel like an accident. You might have had some accidents. Know that you are not an accident. The capital U, universe, brought you into being. And you are loved. Period. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you think you are. Quite frankly, I don't care how good you think you are. Because you are loved. You're breathed into existence by the divine. Tonight, I hope you can hear that. And as you receive that word, I hope you can be as Christ and allow a word to become flesh. As you receive the love of God, may you go forth and affirm someone else's human existence. May you, in this Christmas season, help someone else see that they matter, that God wants them. I don't have to say this because I know y'all know it's true, but there are a lot of lonely people out there. There are a lot of hurting people out there. There are a lot of people who aren't sure if the world is good. May on this night you receive the love of the divine. And may you go out. Make the word become flesh. Allow the Christ to change you. And then go be the Christ to someone else. The world needs it. Amen. Amen. So in the name of the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Redeemer. Amen.